The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Okay, I played for you earlier that, Jay Inslee, he said that the heat wave that we had was the beginning of the end. If we don't spend trillions of dollars to hold back the oceans. And I have some new audio. The stuff I had was from CNN. But Jay Inslee is blowing his hot air now on MSNBC, where he has discussed our heat wave this week.
Well, I think some people think, well, we'll just strap on a few more air conditioners and we'll be fine. Doesn't work. Utilities in Spokane that 8,000.
I think he's making fun of me because I'm the one who said that we're adaptive, that if it happens to get a tiny bit warmer in my lifetime or my kid's lifetime, we will start becoming a more air-conditioned region, just like Las Vegas and Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Scottsdale, Phoenix, Arizona. Of course that would work. What does he mean? People are living in the desert because they've adapted fine. But no, Jay Inslee says that apparently he loves to talk about Washingtonians. Apparently Washingtonians are too stupid to do what Californians and Arizonians and Nevadans do, but we're too dumb to figure out any of this stuff.
Well, I think some people think, well, we'll just strap on a few more air conditioners and we'll be fine. Doesn't work. Utilities in Spokane, that 8,000 people have been cut off from electricity. The air conditioner not doing them any good right now. We have shared information with our citizens about heat stroke and how to recognize it. But we've got to recognize we were not built for this heat bomb. Climate change has dropped a heat bomb on the Pacific Northwest.
Lie.
So right now, what we're seeing is the harbinger of a future that is now upon us. And, I'll be talking to the president Wednesday about our forest fire threats that are just beginning to heat up.
Oh, I wish I could be a fly on that wall when Jay Inslee talks to Joe Biden. That's a real Algonquin roundtable there. Those two minds melting. Hey, you know who's dropping by? Our buddy John. I just like talking to John Curley every once in a while. I don't know if you know this, but he does a radio show from 3 to 7 every afternoon, 97.3 Cairo FM. He joins us live from parts unknown. Hello, John. Hello, John. Hello, John. Hey, Dory, how's it going? No, do we not have John? I'm going to take this as another.
Oh, Dory on there. Hello.
Nicole. I have Nicole.
Well, yeah. So we have a new board op. He's working on trying to connect John, but he's not there quite yet. We're working on it.
Well, I've got other.
He's ready to go. We're just trying to connect him.
I'm not faulting him, and I'm not faulting Brady, who's brand new on the board because John's sick today. It's no problem. No, everything's fine. I roll with the punches.
Everything's fine and dandy, right?
I'm not some hothead. I'm not like that Lawrence O'Donnell. Stop the hammering! That's not me. That's not the way I play the game. Anthony Fauci also is going on MSNBC. So here's what I learned. Now that, here in Washington, we finally have loosened things up. And you can go to a ball game without a mask. And they asked him, but is that safe?
Is it safe for us to go out and watch baseball games if we've been vaccinated without a mask?
The answer is yes, Joe.
Okay, so it's yes. We can go to a ball game without a mask. That was unequivocal. It was yes, you can.
But there are going to be people who at their own discretion are going to say, I'm an elderly person. I have an underlying condition. I'm risk averse, mm-hmm. even though the general recommendation is you don't have to wear a mask. I'm deciding I want to wear a mask. Joe, there's nothing wrong with that. That's individual decision.
Okay. So you're safe, but you can still do it, even though it won't do anything for you. You can still wear a mask. And I still see that. I'm happy to say when I go to the grocery store, when I go to Costco, I would guess 80 to 90% of the people are unmasked the first week when they were allowing people in without masks, it was maybe 5% were unmasked. Whoa! Hearing Brady on the air. Is Curly there now? There he is. I hear the hiss. I hear the hiss that's unmistakably Clee-Elam-ish.
It's the sound of freedom, my friend. It's the sound of freedom here in the clum.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that that's God's country.
It's God's country, and everybody here doesn't like the people that move in from the West Coast. They refer to them as Coasties,
right?
Or Westies. Coasties or Westies coming in and living in Suncadia. They are. There's definitely a division between the rich and the poor, the haves, the have-nots, the been-heres, the recently moved-heres.
I was a little disappointed because, and I don't know if you've talked about this at all on air, but you're having a little get-together later this summer. Is that for public discussion?
That is true, and then I believe that is one day before your party or a week before your party, correct?
No, that's changed. I'll have to talk to you off the air about that. But because I'm thinking, because you sent out an email that said, bring a sleeping bag or a tent, and that's not how Daddy rolls. So I tried to get a room up at Suncadia, and the lodge was all full. And then I tried to get a house. I thought, well, maybe a VRBO up at Suncadia. And they're all full, and the ones I could find were like $1,000 a night. And so
When was the last time you got yourself a sleeping bag and experienced temporary homelessness?
I used to do it on a semi-regular basis because one of our family's favorite family vacations was river rafting. But and so you'd sleep under the stars there. But that was a little bit of what they call glamping, because the people who were, you know, leading the rafting trip, somebody would go up ahead and set up the cots, and you just have to, you know, carry your dry bag out of the boat. But I would sleep outside, but I wouldn't actually. I hate it. I hate camping.
Well, you also have a bathroom problem, so that is the other part of the equation that you like to ignore. But you can't go to the bathroom out in public or outside, so that is a problem.
Well, no, outside is not a problem. I went in my backyard just yesterday. True story. I don't mind that because nobody can see me in my backyard. I'm completely secluded. Nobody can see it. No, if there's somebody around, if I'm in the bathroom back in the olden days when I would come into Cairo, if somebody would walk in, and there's a medical term for it. It's called periwesis. And it's what others call stage fright. But I can't do it. Yeah.
See.
So fascinating, isn't it? So
when I went to Catholic school and one of our fellow eighth graders got caught doing something unnatural in the bathroom, the nuns then determined that they would come into the bathroom with us and they would stand beside the urinals and then they would yell ponies out of the barn, and then she would clap count with a one Mississippi in between up to 13. And you had to be finished in 13 seconds doing God's natural business. Ponies back in the barn, and then the next line of students, like, you know, Civil War soldiers marching in front of cannon fodder. Then the next group would, like, then take over the urinals.
I'm really not sure what language I was just listening to the last 30 seconds. I didn't understand any of that.
Part of my Catholic school upbringing, Dory.
Okay. And then one other thing. Then I pray we get to have some news stories we can chat about.
Yes.
I heard that you got another dog.
When you move out to the country and you tell people you're thinking about getting a second dog, they say, well, don't you already have three? Because most people have four dogs out here. So, like, if you only have two, it's like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why don't you have two more? Yeah. So, got a second one, and she is so in love with me that she can't stand it when I leave, so we have anxiety disorder. So she pulled the screen out and then jumped through a glass window.
What?
And ran up the street after me. So I spent $238 on a giant plastic kennel, you know, the kind with the screen door in the front?
Yeah.
I came home last night. The door was locked. She had squeezed through a side sort of a little window that's no more than, I would say, 5 inches wide.
Has he been watching Escape from Alcatraz with the dogs the night before?
I don't know. I'm like an octopus, or, I mean, the next thing you know, she's going to be asking people to punch her in the stomach or something, like Houdini used to do. Yeah, she is she's intent on not having me leave her side. She follows me everywhere. It's the weirdest thing.
Remind or
I've never had a female care about me so much.
Hearing you describe the dog leaving through the window, reminds me of one of my favorite Stephen Wright lines. He said, I was born by cesarean section. He goes, it really hasn't changed things much, except I always leave a house by climbing out the window.
Well, I'll send you the video. I don't have her jumping out of the thing yet, but I'm going to put a camera in the cabin tonight. Leave for about a half an hour, and just want to see how she gets out. It should be very interesting. It'll probably end up getting 50 million views or something.
So tell me this now. I really wanted to talk about news, but I'm much more fascinated with just kind of the human things that we have to deal with as pet owners and all this. So, and Nicole, you might want to jump in on this conversation here. Everybody must know that Nicole and I are very dear friends. Nicole and John are very dear friends. And do you know the whole thing with Nicole's new cat, right, John?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I saw Nicole last night for the first time. She came over to the house and hung out. A couple of my daughters were here. And she showed me her forearms and the scars from having been scratched by this cat. And a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Nicole on the phone, and my wife and one of my daughters was overhearing the conversation. And I said, she's had the cat for only a short time. And I said, I don't want you to misunderstand, and this might sound like a very rude question, but if this cat is so neurotic and your nieces don't really like the cat, and he's very neurotic, and there are a million cats out there, and I'm just wondering, at what point is it appropriate to trade in one that you've rescued, but if it's not like a loving, perfect, whatever you wanted, why not just take them back and get another?
I feel like, because I've already made the commitment, you don't get to trade in your children. Not that he's my child, but you don't get
to
trade him in.
These are children. I understand the concept even with a dog. But I mean, and I'm not trying to be a dog versus cat guy, but I just don't quite understand because you could find. But anyway, my wife and my daughter who overheard it, they thought that was a very rude question that I asked.
Well, he loves me, and God put him in my care, so I'm committed to making change his tune.
You can't dump him, Dory. You can't dump the cat. Nope. You can't dump the dog. Nope.
But
I got a dog once from the Humane Society. I won't tell you which one. And they said, we found her on the street. She's so sweet. She's probably got no more than 6 weeks to live. Just the sweetest dog, little Yorkie Terrier. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, my God. What's what happened? Well, no one wants to adopt her. She'll spend the last 6 weeks of her life probably in the cage and then just pass away. She's so old. She's so old, but she's so cute. So I called Lace. I said, she's got 6 weeks to live. I'll bring her home and let's just let her be with us and the kids will take care of her and, last 6 weeks of her life. Bring her home. This thing is like a lawn sprinkler. She urinates on everything. She destroys all the carpeting in the house. I mean, there's nowhere she doesn't pee.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, well, maybe this is a thing last 6 weeks of her life. She's dying. We take her to the vet. The guy goes, oh, no, this dog's only about 2 years old. She's going to live another 12 years.
Oh, my
goodness. I tear up all of the carpeting. I don't put new carpeting down. We're walking on subfloor, like construction plywood mm-hmm. subfloor.
John, I know what subfloor is.
Through the whole house.
You don't need to
whole house.
Well,
there was no, like you'd walk, and, oh, God, you get a giant splinter in your foot. because the subfloor, the concrete subfloor, which was the plywood, is just through the entire place. Carpeting out in the great big dumpster, and there's this, oh, she might have spent the last 6 weeks of her life.
How long did she go for?
About another 8 years.
Wow.
No, you see.
Oh, yeah.
I just.
You trained her?
I love animals.
Never got potty trained. No carpeting.
No, I have a very dear friend, and his daughter, and to a certain extent his wife, they take in strays, and they have cats running around the house. And they had this one cat that they took in, and, you know, as bad as your dog urine problem was, cat urine.
Yes.
It's the worst. And this cat was going on the carpet. They have a beautiful house. The house is starting to stink. The wife and mom, she's starting to get distraught because their house stinks so bad they can't have people over. And at some point, don't we have to? And I know this sounds cold for some, because I love animals, but I love Nicole. And I'm just thinking, if the cat scratches you and is not, your nieces don't like the cat who visit you all the time, in the whole cosmic scheme of things in the universe, it's not like you're just throwing away a cat. It's like you're saving another cat.
I don't know. I think it's a challenge. I mean, you're not going to, he's a kitten. So he's still in kitten mode. That's why he scratches. He just wants to play. So at some point, I think that will get better. And then, you know, I was the one that stuck with him. I mean, he obviously loves me. He's very sweet most of the time. And then he just turns around and latches on like he's going for the jugular of a mouse. It's terrible. I have to fling him off and whatever. But in between that, there's love.
But you have scars on your arm right now. Scars don't go away.
Well, you know, it's going to be proof that I stuck with him.
Oh, man.
But Dory, knowing some of the men that Nicole has dated, she has scars on her heart as well. So let's not forget about that. This is a woman that's been scarred emotionally and now physically.
Yeah, see.
Right. I'm just going to make that the whole power out for the segment right there. All right, John, thanks for dropping by. You can hear Tom and Curly starting at 3
o'clock. All right, I sent Nicole a picture of the crate.
Well, why didn't you send it to me, too?
Because I don't know your phone number.
That's below. I texted you happy birthday wishes yesterday.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I do have it. I didn't want to throw you off because I knew too many things happening. She can receive emails, text messages, and be scratched by a cat all at the same time. So all she can handle it.
I'll take Oscar over here.
Right, okay. And by the way,
I got to prepare for my show.
A belated happy birthday to you.
Okay. Thank you.
You can hear the Tom and Curly Show every afternoon, 3 to 7. Nice. Stop talking. 97.3 Cairo FM, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I think we can all agree that was newsy and informative. Okay, we'll check the news for you, and then we have lots more news that I want to talk about. Straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I think it's pretty fair to say that almost every parent expects that their kid will be back in the classroom this fall. Remote learning was a disaster. But in a shocking bit of business, the National Education Association, the largest teachers union in the country, they introduced something this morning. Item 33. The NEA will call for mandatory, safe and effective COVID-19 vaccinations and testing for all students and staff before returning to face-to-face instruction in the fall. The teachers' union is saying that unless every child is vaccinated, they may not go back to work. I know a group that has written about this rather extensively. I mean, really worth following. America's Frontline Doctors. Allie Schultz, she is the legal director for America's Frontline Doctors, and she joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Allie, I really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks for coming on with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
So a couple of weeks ago, your organization acknowledged the missive from the CDC that said kids are getting, in numbers too great to ignore, kids are getting myocarditis, they're getting the heart inflammation, and your group said we must discontinue COVID vaccination in people under the age of 30. I know this was a couple of weeks ago that your group sent this out. Has your organization's perspective changed at all since then?
Absolutely not. It's only solidified our stand. There's absolutely no reason to give our children or even adolescents under the age of 30 a biological injection that isn't even truly a vaccine. When there's statistically 0% chance of them dying from COVID-19.
Yeah, and that's what still amazes me, is if the downside, if you're healthy enough to go to school, you are not going to be affected by getting COVID. But now we have, just in the county that Seattle is in, King County, we have 15 known cases of kids who have gotten the heart inflammation. And I know that's a relatively small percentage of the vaccinated kids, but as a parent, if your choice is no risk versus small risk, I'm going to take no risk every time.
Well, yes, and the FDA, who's supposed to be looking out for everyone in approving these things and authorizing it for certain ages, and deciding if it's fully licensed or not, that is one of the steps in the analysis that they're supposed to be considering. In order for an emergency use authorization on a vaccine or gene therapy agent like this is, there's four criteria that need to be met. A public emergency declaration, there can be no approved, adequate, available alternative treatment. Kind of makes sense why they wanted to suppress the cures. The vaccine can't be worse than the disease itself, and informed consent is required along with the right to refuse. So when they are talking about potentially mandating this in schools, it's of my belief that they are trying to fully license this vaccine at a far accelerated speed. It's not actually supposed to be able to be fully licensed until a minimum of October 2022. And with all of these start of school mandate offers, if you will, I have a feeling the FDA is going to try to authorize it, fully license it by then.
Well, here's what I find amazing, because I've done some rather in-depth coverage of this. A year and a half ago, I think the pharmaceutical industry would have been one of the least trusted in America. And, you know, we know that they will get as many people hooked on opioids as possible because of the revenue that it generates. And government is not trusted. And I am shocked, Allie, at the number of people who see this collusion of government and pharmaceutical companies. They are close to saturating the market with adults who have been vaccinated. They still need to grow revenues to maintain this obscene stock price. Not obscene, I mean, it's just market-driven stock price that's gone up the last year for Pfizer and Moderna. And so kids are the untapped market. But if people think that the motives are pure here, that really surprises me, given the players involved.
Collusion, all right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, the same people who are deciding, who are on the board for government agencies like the CDC and FDA, who are deciding if this vaccine could be authorized for children or even younger ages. You know, they're testing as low as 2 years old right now. And those same people are receiving massive payouts from Big Pharma. The collusion is just out of control, and it needs to stop. We don't have an honest medical system anymore.
Well, the other thing that amazes me, I played audio from a 40-year-old 60 Minutes piece back in 1980 or so when they were talking about swine flu and the swine flu vaccine. And the government said every man, woman, and child needs to get the swine flu vaccine. It's safe. It's effective. Roll up your sleeve. And then 60 Minutes, 40 years ago, is talking to a woman who's who is a quadriplegic after getting the vaccine. It was reversible after many months and many surgeries. But they started talking about the thousands of people who had filed lawsuits because of what it had done, mainly neurologically, that vaccine. And now people are trusting everything, even though, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer, by the way, Ali. I got the vaccine because I'm in an age group where I thought the upside was greater than the downside. But, you know, my wife got the vaccine. I'm not an anti, but I see what's happened in the past. This one was rushed to the marketplace faster than any in history, still hasn't been FDA approved, and COVID doesn't negatively impact children. So giving it to the kids is what's absolutely insane to me.
I totally agree. And, you know, when you brought up the swine flu, so they canceled the swine flu vaccine program after 25 deaths. There's been over 6,000 deaths with this already. And then, like you were talking about, all of the incidents of myocarditis. And I agree. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I have three small kids. They're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, but just this particular vaccine, there's absolutely no reason for a child to get this vaccine. And we are just fighting for the choice. You know, we need to have freedom.
I want to make sure nobody misunderstands what you just said. When you say your children are vaccinated, I assume what you mean is things like mumps, measles, rubella, polio, that
yes,
they don't have the
exactly.
COVID vaccine. Is that right?
I'm correct. Exactly. I'm not
okay.
An anti-vaxxer.
Right.
You know, it's just this particular situation. My children will not be receiving this COVID vaccine because they'd actually never tested children in any of the trials. And the phase 3 trials with children are the test right now. And so I just feel like I'd be failing my children if I were to subject them to that, even if it meant having to sue the school board or working with the teachers on suing the union. But at AmericasFrontlineDoctors.org, we are very pro-choice. We're pro-choice. We are not an anti-vax group by any means. We just want to preserve the fundamental right to choose. And that really comes down to free speech is what we're finding. Because, you know, if my doctor and I agree that I'm not supposed to get this vaccine for whatever reason, you know, my doctor's not allowed to talk about it on Facebook, or, you know, the media right. might shut us down. And then if because my doctor doesn't want me to get the vaccine and they write me a medical exemption, the medical board will put that physician on a disciplinary action list. Like in California, there's a list of,
sure.
I believe, 9,000 doctors that are getting in trouble for doing what they feel is best for their patients. So when you talk about the conflict between government and big pharma, it has really become a conflict for anyone who has a license to fulfill their duty to their
right.
patients versus be able to be licensed by the licensures as well.
Well, and we only have a minute or so left, but the other thing that's really troubling to me, first of all, as I said at the beginning of the segment, if anybody's just joining us, the teachers' union this morning said they will not go back to work unless National Teachers Union, unless every child is vaccinated. I have undercover audio, Ali, that a middle school kid, an eighth grade kid, recorded a couple of weeks ago here in the Seattle area of his science teacher telling the kids that, you know, if parents who don't wear masks, parents who don't want the vaccine, that they're not following the science. And so we've got propaganda from a science teacher to the children. And now we have states lowering the age where children can get the vaccine without parental consent. And so the fact that there are powerful forces, again, I'll use the word colluding to do an end around these parents who have made an evaluation and decided they don't want their kids to get vaccinated. And we've got public school teachers telling the kids they don't love people if they don't get vaccinated. And they're able to get the injection without the parents even knowing about it. I mean, this is sick and wrong right now.
It is. That minors being able to consent is out of control. And for your listeners in Washington State, that is a thing there. I'm not sure specifically if it's the minors can consent or if it's any healthcare provider can make that choice for the minor without the parent's knowledge.
It's shocking. It's
so
really shocking.
You're right.
Well, and then I'll leave you with this. But at the Children's Hospital in Seattle, they're asking parents of six-month-olds to bring them in to be part of a medical experiment. Some will get the vaccine. Some will get a placebo. You have three kids. I have three kids. What parent in their right mind would want their baby to be part of a medical experiment for an unapproved drug? I mean, it's just, we are in some really bizarre times, and I think that, greed and money drives all of it. Ali Schulze is the legal director for America's Frontline Doctors. Ali, I really enjoyed talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it, too. Take care.
All right. You can check them out. Go to americasfrontlinedoctors.org to learn more about them. And we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day coming up next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, and it's now time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Jay Inslee still going around all media to tell us that the record heat earlier this week was the beginning of the end. Unless we spend trillions and trillions of dollars, then we might be able to stop it. But everything he's saying is a lie. But here's what he told MSNBC.
This is fundamental to our survival as a country, to have a beautiful country that we have inherited. And there is no time to wait. We got to act now. And I'm confident he'll do the best he can in this regard because we need to do that. And it's really unfortunate that the Republicans have refused to operate in a bipartisan way on climate.
Jay Inslee represents the party that does not follow science. They are not the party of science. That is clear. So he said because we had record temperatures in our state that it's a sign of the beginning of the end. Well, tell me this then. In Spokane, it hit 109 degrees earlier this week. The previous record in Spokane was 108 degrees. It happened in July of 1928. Was that the beginning of the end? Did we only have 12 years left as a planet because it hit 108 degrees? No. And then it didn't hit another high for another 33 years. August 1961, it hit 108 again. We're going to all drown in 10 years. Kids, don't have children of your own. They will die. But then, for 60 years, the 1961 and 1928 record stood until earlier this week. And now Jay said, oh, this is the beginning of the end. This is no more the beginning of the end than 1928 and 1961 were. He's lying. He's lying, and he knows it. He knows he's lying. As he takes his limousine to the front of the ferry line. I got ferry workers tipping me off on all this stuff. Okay, also in our awesome audio, Donald Trump did a town hall at the U.S.-Mexico border last night. But unlike Kamala Harris, who was 650 miles away from where the real problem is, Donald Trump went right to where the problem is, and he talked about it. And we know this. I have talked with the special agents, with the FBI, I mean, with Homeland Security, who have told me that the drugs are coming into the country unabated. They're coming right up I-5 and laced with fentanyl and the heroin addiction we have around here. They're killing people here in the Seattle area.
We stopped a lot of the drugs that were coming in, which is very tough to do. And they have some real criminals bringing this stuff in. They have the toughest people. These cartels, these are tough, smart people. They're like, they went to the Wharton School of Finance and graduated number one in their class, but they never did that. But they would have graduated number one. They're very, very tough and smart.
He also talked about Joe Biden's cognitive ability versus his.
But he did a test. Did I ace it?
Yes, sir.
I aced it. And I'd like to see Biden ace it. He won't ace it. He'll get the first two. There's 35 questions, and the first two or three are pretty easy.
Maybe the animals.
They're the animals. Is this a lion, a giraffe? When he gets to around 20, he's going to have a little hard time. I think he's going to have a hard time with the first few, actually.
Okay, finally, has he made up his mind? Is he running in 24?
Have you made up your mind? Yes.
But he didn't say he's ready. He said he's made up his mind. All right, that's it. I got to get out of here. Tom Curley Show's coming up next. We have a best of for you tomorrow. I'll see you next week. Hi, noon.